This is A Lost Plot, the podcast where we explore meaning in movies together.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is your boy back, bringing the universe another episode of A Lost Plot. I'm your host, as always, Maverick, and today we are back with one of our favorites, debatable, but favorites, Andrew Reeder. Andrew, thanks for coming out again. You gotta say something, bro. You gotta say something.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah.
Okay, all right, well.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
A little sneak peek for what you're about to hear. Yes, that's right. We're bringing in a classic. But before we get to that, we do want to thank our supporters, the people who are reaching out to us. One of our fans, Anonymous Andrew, reached out and left us a review on the podcast app. Just wanted to appreciate him and what he wrote. He wrote that he listens to many podcasts in his day. And of course, there's an endless pool of resources for podcast topics and concepts. I have yet to come across a podcast that takes a deep dive into plots of movies. I think it's an awesome idea. So thank you, Andrew, whatever your full name is. We appreciate your time. And please, if you guys are listening to this, leave us a review. We're always looking for reviews, always looking for a little bit of love on the stars. So just go down there, give us a little look there. So with that, let's get into it. So today we are reviewing Gladiator. It is a 2000 release with a screenplay by David Franzoni, John Logan, William Nicholson, and the story was by David Franzoni. I actually looked into the background of this. It was kind of interesting. This is almost a like multi-decade in the making movie. Anyways, Ridley Scott was the director. I guess it's relevant to say that David Franzoni actually like took a trip across Europe and saw all the Colosseums in Europe when he was doing this trip, and it helped inspire him to think about the story and craft it around the narrative of Commodus and these other historic figures during the Roman Empire. So it was a thing that he took a long time to develop until it came to the fruition that we saw in this epic movie. Anyways, we'll get into the details of it. I thought it was a cool kind of backstory, though. Anyways, it stars our very own Russell Crowe as Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, royal servant of the armies of the North, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and he will have his vengeance in this life next.
You didn't say it right.
Okay, shut up. Joaquin Phoenix, Connie Nielsen as Lucilla, Oliver Reed as Antonius Proximo, and the rest. But as we have someone who is very particular lines in this movie, you want to give us a line or two about what this movie is about. Andrew.
So basically, epic Roman dude fights a battle. Epic Roman dude's boss says he wants him to take over when he's dead. Epic Roman dude's boss gets killed by his son. Son becomes new epic Roman dude's boss and tries to kill him. Epic Roman dude's new boss fails. He survives, gets a name change, gets a glow up, starts killing lots of people for entertainment purposes, gets really frustrated with his new boss, who happens to be someone who used to work in the same field, stages a coup, gets stabbed, kills his now ex-new boss, and everyone's happy in the end.
Sure. Nice. Sounds good. This is a classic. The reason we're bringing this back is partially because of the discussion around John Wick. And yeah. I would say when I first discussed that in that podcast, there was some contention about whether or not this movie is similar to John Wick. Is it not similar? And so it is worthy of giving it its own review. So here we are today. With that being said, Andrew, on a scale of the 9-point system, what did you give this movie?
A 9.
This guy. It's John Wick a 6, and this a 9, just because it's Rome. Exactly.
There's purpose to the bloodshed, obviously.
Well, I sure hope so. I gave it a 7.7. That's the highest I've given a movie since we switched to the 9-point system. I was very happy with it, which is interesting considering how much I dislike John Wick. So let's get into why that is the case.
Wait, so you haven't given anything a 7.7 since you switched to 9 points?
Correct.
I will hold my tongue. Anyways, let's go.
What's your concern?
I don't know. It's just interesting. I'd have to look at what movies you reviewed, but
yeah, I mean, we're probably like 15 movies in, 20 movies in since that.
Okay.
So, you know, not a huge number, but and then we had some wonderful additions at that time, such as the Marvels and Captain Marvel and whatnot. So, yeah. I love that. Anyways, so the opener, did the opener start off in a way that got you gripped and engaged in this movie? What did you think when you first saw the great legions of Rome coming out against Germania?
Well, when we watched it last night, it was 2 a.m, so I was kind of tired, and I've already seen it. So the first time I saw it, I think I was 8, and I was like, oh, wow, it's another one of my dad's war movies. Great. That aside, though, I think it's a great opener. Just because my perception at the time when I watched the opener wasn't that great doesn't mean the opener is not great. I think they set it up really well, especially for someone who's going to see a movie about Rome. You get to see the legions, you get to see a battle, you get to see heads fly, fire arrows. There's even a dog there for all those dog lovers out there. And no, he doesn't die. So there's no animal cruelty in this movie, aside from some horses dying.
Going back to that great bit, every man's dream is Rome. This starts it right off strong. You have the legions, you have the great battles, you have the epic conquest that is the epitome of the Roman Empire, starting off this movie strong. I think that starting in the action is generally a great way to get people engaged right in the movie to start. So it's a great opener. I really think that they started off on all the right feet when it comes to this one, which is good. The main character. What did you think of the main character? Did you think that he was a compellingly flawed individual and he had opportunity for growth?
I think it's interesting because they don't give him too many flaws in the beginning. They give him motive, and I think his motive is great because you have this leader of an army who's obviously loved and honored by all of his men. There's a ton of respect, with just little things within the first scene. And then I think then within, the first 5 or 10 minutes, you find out that he just wants to go home and be a farmer. It's very much a George Washington-esque vibe, not going to lie. With the whole, this is my duty, I'm here because it's my duty, and it's not because I revel in bloodshed. And that gets portrayed throughout the rest of the movie, too, with the line, are you not entertained? Because that's not what he doesn't live for that.
Right.
He lives for the simpler things. And even talks, there's a line he says, dirt is easier to clean out of your fingernails than blood.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if you'd say he's flawed at that point in the movie. I'd say he's driven, and I think he is a very, not only relatable, but a very, believable character.
I think you're right. I was curious because there was definitely a lot of different influences that came into creating this character specifically, who's obviously a fictional character. Commodus existed in real life. Marcus Aurelius existed in real life.
Marcus Aurelius was a Stoic too, but I don't.
Yeah, he was a Stoic. He was known for his Stoicism. Meditations is actually quite good. I've read it multiple times. I'm a fan of the ideas around him. So they portrayed him in a great way as well. But he's more of a side character. But Maximus is not a real character. But he has a lot of different influences into what created him as a character. I think the biggest thing that stuck out to my mind was Cincinnatus, which he was a real person, but the idea of, you know, being this great general who ends up going back to the old life of farming, and obviously that's embellished throughout history, so it's not completely as it's portrayed, but you know, all these ideas play into making this character, and he took a little bit from a lot of different areas, and that created the character that we have.
Yeah.
I would say definitely at the beginning, he's not necessarily the most flawed individual. But when this question is asked too, you're going from not just the very, very first scene, you're going from about the first scene until he gets involved in the conflict, right? And that's going to vary where that happens in the movie, depending on which movie you're watching. But in this case, it's probably where he gets captured and decides to fight, right? Yeah. So in that area, he's a very caring individual. He puts his family first. He's a man at that point who has a strong desire for revenge when he finally gets engaged in the conflict. But yeah, I think that of all points in this movie, that's probably the weakest. I still gave it some points here, but it wasn't like, oh, he's this character who has a huge character arc in his movie. But they do a lot of other things, right? And the other point is that he just wants to die, right? He's given up all care once his family dies and he gets captured and all this stuff that hits him with a disaster right at the beginning. And he only responds to the call when he has that transformative realization of who he must be. So, he does have character growth is all that there is to say, but it's not maybe as strong as you might see in other movies like Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge type thing. So, you know, but it was still good.
I think what's interesting is that, like, we're talking about John Wick and how Gladiator is different. I think one of the ways that Gladiator is different is they portray the thing that makes John Wick unique, his revenge killing spree, his lack of care for anything or anything else. They make that a flaw within Maximus, and they make it a flaw that is, in a sense, beaten out of him almost throughout the movie. And they start before the turning point, because for John Wick, the turning point is the dog dying. For Maximus, the turning point is his basically a father figure being murdered, a usurper taking that person's place, and then that usurper trying to kill him and succeeding at killing his family and destroying everything he knows and loves. And so Maximus has this time in the movie where he does not care. He will not fight back. He just kind of sits around, and then when he does fight back, he's just disgusted at what he sees, because he knows that this is not the Rome that Marcus Aurelius saw. And again, this is his father figure. And so there's like this element where he is slowly going through this transformative journey to where he starts to, one, realize he actually does have power. And two, he decides what he wants to do with that power. And so at first, he just wanted to kill Commodus. And you have that scene when Commodus comes out to meet him and he picks up the spearhead or the arrowhead, I think. And that's all he cares about. He just wants to kill Commodus. And that's like that great line when he says he will have his vengeance.
Right. Exactly.
But it transforms from just a revenge story to a redemption story where his desires and his wants and the thing driving him transcends just his own personal goals. And it's now about why did Marcus Aurelius put so much faith in me? What did he want to see done? What is actually going to be for the betterment of Rome as a whole? Is it just going to be killing this guy and waiting for the next tyrant to take his place? Or is it going to be to actually change the governmental structure and the system we have in place? And so I think the big contrast between John Wick and Gladiator, and where Gladiator really shines through, is it's not just a revenge killing story in which the main character abandons his revenge at the end of the movie and just walks away. It is a story in which he completely abandons the revenge aspect, so to speak, for a higher calling, in essence. And I mean, I guess you could say he gets his revenge because he kills Commodus, but it's almost like that happens in spite of it.
Right. Well, his grand plan doesn't work. And that was the big thing that beats him down. And it was, I mean, we'll get to the end in a bit, but the other thing, I mean, because when you're looking at his motives, right, you hit a lot of it on the head, where he's has this calling placed on him to lead the people of Rome away from the corruption that they've seen in the Senate, in the Empire, especially with the coming emperor who is completely corrupt, Commodus, that they need to move away from that. And that's what Marcus Aurelius is seeing. And he sees the mob, the people who are this destructive force, and how they need to be directed in the right way. And so he has this calling and he rejects it, right? And you get this sentiment from him at the beginning of the movie with Marcus Aurelius, where he goes, you know, I serve you because you are my Lord and Master, and you've called upon me to serve you. But at the end of the day, I just want to be with my family, take care of my farm, and do my thing, right?
Yeah.
And then he has that discussion soon afterwards with Cicero, his accomplice, his friend, where he basically, Cicero says something along the lines of, I do what I have to do, and then I do what I want to do, and I don't try to go beyond that. And that's the sentiment that he plays out. And that's kind of the sentiment that Maximus has at the beginning of the movie, where he cares about people. He tries to do the right thing, but at the end of the day, he's only doing what he is obligated to do. He doesn't feel a calling to take care of the rest of the people of Rome, right? The people of Rome are not his responsibility. And I mean, what's great about this movie, and I think this is a great idea across most movies, is it's not just about the action, right? It's not just about the people doing different things. It's about what are the ideas presented, right? And this movie was very good at taking concepts and ideas around what people would discuss, about what people ought to do, and then portraying that through the actions of these characters. So these people are having very real discussions about what is right, what is wrong, what is my responsibility, what is the responsibility of leaders, what is justice, what is mercy, you know, things like that. And these are all played out in these characters' lives. And that helps add to the flavor of these movies, because these are real struggles that people are dealing with. And you see that, in Maximus at the beginning of the movie, especially, where he's having this mental struggle of who he should be. And by the end of the movie, you very much see that idea that he takes on the responsibility of caring for the people of Rome.
Yeah. And I think they do that really well. And so, like, yeah, I think the biggest difference between John Wick and Gladiator is that one is, in a sense, it's senseless violence. And they try to put a purpose on the violence, and they try to put sense to the movie. But it's very, very much not well thought through. And at best, it's not a very deep plot. It's very basic. It's very simple. And it's very obvious, if you're being honest with yourself, that the plot itself comes secondary to the real purpose of the movie, which is just to show murder and bloodshed. And I mean, if that's what you want to go watch, then sure, go watch that. But don't say that you're going to watch it because it's a good movie. Say you're going to go watch it because you want to see the fight scenes, and you want to see people get shot up, and you want to see Keanu Reeves killing a bunch of people. Like, that's the appeal of that movie. And be honest about it. But, like, the appeal of Gladiator is not simply the bloodshed. Like, yeah, there are gladiatorial fights. And, yeah, they are, like, super cool. Like, I think I'm trying to remember the one fight. I can't think of it right now. But there are multiple. As he, like, one, as he's moving up through the ranks, getting finally to the Colosseum within Rome. But throughout the rest of the movie as well, there's, like, little spurts. And also the beginning of the movie, too. But a lot of the movie is also the dialogue. And there's a lot of downtime. And there's a lot of scheming. And so there's a lot of character building going on within that. Whereas John Wick is just... it's just a blood fest the entire time.
Right. Well, inherent in this is, even though, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because Maximus falls to nothing in this movie.
Yeah.
He's really just a slave. And at the same time, he's dealing with his ideas of responsibility of who he ought to be. And that's contrasted with Commodus's idea of responsibility and what he thinks it is to lead the people of Rome. And those are very different ideas of what it looks like. And so part of the whole reason that they come into conflict and you see the gladiatorial games is because Commodus sees his responsibility of the people is feeding them this bloodlust that they desire, right? he is giving them the John Wick experience that they want and giving them the carnal bloodlust rather than leading them down a path that makes them a better nation and yeah. so or a better empire. And so the contrast there is a very palpable part of it too. And that's in some ways a contrast, a ding against John Wick, but yeah. Did you think, especially in regards to Marcus Aurelius, he plays into this, especially at the beginning, because he sets the framework for the rest of the movie. Did you think that he was well motivated, especially with the short time he had? Did he play a good part in the movie? Like, what did you think of him as a character?
I think with Marcus Aurelius, it's interesting because he's almost like a Qui-Gon type character where he, and we talked about this with episode one, which I don't even know if you've released yet, but you know, well,
it did, yeah.
We did talk about this in episode one where it's like his character doesn't have a ton of flaws. And if his character did mm-hmm. have flaws, they've since been sort of sorted out. And mm-hmm. so with Marcus Aurelius, he's kind of there to boost the main protagonist and to kind of give him that spark he needs to set him on his journey. And with Marcus Aurelius, you have the whole dialogue at the beginning of the movie where Maximus comes to him like, cool, we did our job. I get to go home now. I get to see my kids. And Marcus Aurelius is like, I have another job for you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, why? What is this?
Right.
And right. so he in a way acts as that catalyst. And it's interesting because with Maximus, he almost doesn't want to, and he's doubting it. But as soon as Commodus takes action and kills Marcus Aurelius, that is really what sets Maximus off. And it's what gives him the motive he needs to fully embrace that responsibility. And you see it for about, I don't know, like 15 seconds when he rushes to his tent and he's talking to his armor bearer and he's like, you need to awaken these senators. I need to figure out what we're going to do. We need to do this like right now. And even though that whole spark is completely destroyed when his family is killed, and he's like, mm-hmm. I think what's interesting is that Maximus at the beginning is saying, I'm fighting for the glory of Rome. And I will not have all of these men. He lists off how many are wounded, how many injured, how many are dead, like how many are starving. He's like, I will not have all of these men have died and given their lives for the glory of Rome and have that all been in vain. And that's one of the reasons he's doubting Marcus Aurelius, because Marcus Aurelius is saying Rome is horrible. Rome is mm-hmm. corrupt. Rome is evil. And Maximus is like, no, it's not. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me the thing I've been fighting for my entire life is all these horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Commodus does that, he starts to take action. What's interesting, though, is even though he's embracing his responsibility as the next person to kind of take the reins from Marcus Aurelius, or at least attempting to in those first moments after Marcus Aurelius dies, he has not yet embraced the mindset that Marcus Aurelius had, where he recognizes that Rome is corrupt and evil. And it takes Commodus basically beating that out of him throughout the movie with his family dying, him going into slavery, and him really realizing this is what I was fighting for. This is the Rome that I was protecting all those years as the general of those armies. Mm-hmm. And then that – after talking to – crap, what's her name? The sister. Lucia?
Lucilla, yeah.
Lucilla. After talking to her – and there's like, he has a conversation with Proximo as well, the trainer of the gladiator school that he's a part of. It's like, right. there's several key moments throughout the movie where he starts to realize, oh, this is what Marcus Aurelius was talking about when he said Rome was corrupt. And now I can see why the changes he wanted to implement would actually help fix those, because he recognizes one of the big problems is the emperor.
Right.
Having someone like Commodus in power. And even before, when he was like, when Marcus Aurelius was like, I want you to do it, he's like, no, Commodus can do it. And by the end of the movie, he's like, yeah, no, Commodus can't do this job.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I never want another Commodus in power. And so right. it's interesting how you see this Maximus changing, because he goes from almost this idealist type character who is fantasizing this idea of what Rome is. And what I think is interesting is even people today fantasize what Rome was. And it was this great, powerful, awesome nation that could do no wrong. And it was glorious. Mm-hmm. Their infrastructure, their innovation, their politics, the Republic, all of it was amazing and awesome. But there were some serious problems within Roman politics. I mean, they were very, mm-hmm. they were extremely corrupt. They were, they basically lived for entertainment. The sexual debauchery of many of the citizens of Rome was through the roof. They had no value of human life. And so I think it's interesting because it's almost like the message of this movie, or one of the messages, is Rome is not as great as you think it is. And that's the lesson that Maximus learns throughout this movie, is Rome is not as great as I think it is. But I think even though that's something that is in the movie, and it's not too much to say that it's a very core message throughout the movie too, because it's literally the journey that the main character is going on, is realizing that his idealized version of Rome it doesn't exist. It's a fantasy. It's not something that many people take away from this movie. And I think it's unfortunate. At least from the people I've watched this movie with, I've never had someone walk away with that idea in mind. It's like, oh, that was a great movie. I love the gladiator. I love the politics. I love the fighting scenes. And it's like, if you went into that movie and you came out thinking there were some great fight scenes, then you missed the message of the movie and you missed the very core themes of that movie. If you want to go see a movie just for fight scenes and bloodshed, go see John Wick. If you want to see a movie, there's four of them now. So trust me, you've got at least 8 hours of murder porn.
Mind-numbing content, yes.
That's my new catchphrase for John Wick. But like, there's so much there with Gladiator. And that's just one of the themes of like, there are things that we can idealize and almost idolize in a sense as being perfect. Mm-hmm. But it's important to look at it and take a step back and ask, like, is this actually as good as we think it is? Is this something that we actually want to hold in such esteem? Or is it just like anything else in this world that needs some sort of reform and can always improve? And to be fair, Rome definitely could use some improvements, but I think there's many things that we could look at and kind of take the same lesson within the movie of Gladiator and the same lesson that Maximus learned and apply them to many other things.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I know that I've taken away, and I recalled it again after watching it this last time, that I recalled that I had the same thought the first time I watched it, and that was, you want to give Rome back to the people, right? But at the end of the day, it is the people that is the mob in the Colosseum.
Yeah. Right?
It is the people in the mob who are saying to, you know, thumbs down, kill this guy, or thumbs up, let him live. And it's based on the sways of the emotional opinion in the Colosseum at the time. And so it's not a logical, reasonable way to go about things. It's not a way to build a sustainable empire. And yet it's interesting that they prefer that over a despot like Commodus, or like any despot, honestly, because one despot doesn't seem to be able to, it can go bad real fast, maybe more or less is what I'm going for. And maybe that's a pitch for democracy or a pitch for a republic or whatever that is, a more general sense of giving it to the people to destroy their own lives rather than a tyrant destroying their lives. The other thing too is, like, back at that time, the tyrants going, it was a idea going back to, you know, Athens and the Spartans and all that stuff, and that was like the epitome of evil in their minds, is how you could go down the tyrant's path. So Commodus is the embodiment of that, and that being reflected in this movie is apt for reflecting that time period. But yeah, that is interesting. I don't know that it resolves that question per se of, oh, you know, well, you're just handing one bad man for the evil of the mob by giving it back to the people. But at the same time, it does at least indicate that they are better off without having to deal with the wickedness of Commodus.
I think it's interesting because there's also a line in the movie The Patriot when the main character, who's supposed to be Francis Marion, says, "Why would I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away?" And it's like this this contrast between a monarchy and democracy, and how like true democracy is really just tyranny in a more like it's just more spread out, and it's just mob rule. And so it's like why the idea of a republic is so like crucial to having a free society. And there's like that line that Gracchus says where he's like, the beating heart of Rome is not the marble of the Senate, but the sands of the Colosseum. And then immediately after that, referring to Commodus, he says he'll bring them death and they will love him for it. I think that's so interesting, especially when you're talking about that in contrast with John Wick, because that's exactly what Keanu Reeves brings us and they love him for it. So, and it's funny too, because people get so upset when you tell them John Wick's not a good movie. And it's like they're defending this like prized possession, and you're like, you understand that you can't really defend that he is a like that is a good movie. You can defend that it's a bloodbath, sure. So I think those are just two really good lines that I think go well with like what we're talking about, especially the one from Gracchus and the Gladiator.
And that's the thing, is that these, and as a side note to these lines come out of movies because they build upon great ideas throughout the movie, building these great characters that have these fundamental beliefs and themes that they are embodying, so that when they come to these times where they are in the confrontation, you have him saying, "I am Maximus Decimus Meridius, you know, leader of the armies of the North," and et cetera, et cetera. Or Gracchus, after seeing the bloodbath that you have seen of the Colosseum, making that statement. You know, these things build upon each other because they are trying to convey this idea beyond just a mere, gory bloodbath or some epic scene that you're seeing of Rome. There's actual concrete ideas behind this that they are representing. And that was intentional in regards to making the plot itself.
Again, it's just great. And I think contrasting it with John Wick makes it even better you have it. You really do. You have absolute dog water in terms of plot. Gladiator does is it takes the only good thing from John Wick and it adds it to an amazing plot. And so You should never have to watch John Wick unless you have like a Keanu Reeves fetish. But, you know, I don't know. Each their own.
Oh, boy.
No hate there, by the way. I think Keanu Reeves is a great actor. I just think the movies are garbage.
Yeah. You know, so I watched The Marsh King's Daughter, you know, a couple months ago, and movie great or not, but turns out Daisy Ridley's actually a great actress, and her playing Skywalker, whatever her face is, in Star Wars is not a representation of her as her acting capabilities. So, you know, same thing with Keanu Reeves. I think Keanu Reeves is a great actor. John Wick is not the end all say all for him as an actor, and he acts well. It's just the plot is, as Andrew said, dog water. The obstacle is, what's at risk for Maximus in this movie?
Multiple things, actually, because it's like there are three stages to his life. In the first stage, the thing at risk is his life at home, his family, his son. And he loses that. And when he loses that, there's nothing left. And that's part of the story. And to be fair, it lasts. It's a decent amount of time. It's a decent chunk. But there's not much at risk there because there's nothing left. But it's also not like he has any goals either. He's just a wandering soul who's given up hope. And so after he joins the games, though, and he decides that he wants revenge, his revenge is what's at stake. Because at that point, his goal in each of those gladiatorial fights is not revenge, it's survival. And so the thing at risk is the ability for him to exact his revenge, because if he dies, he can't do that anymore.
Well, so how do you compare that with
John Wick?
He does say, so when he says Commodus, right, and he confronts him in the arena, and he gives his epic line, and he says, "And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." Right. Yep. He is claiming vengeance and that's important to him. But at the same time, he doesn't even expect that he's going to get that. And so that's where he has in this life or the next. Like, either way, whether I kill you or I don't, I will get you back more or less for what you've done.
Well, I think there's two things. One, I think it's important to contrast this with John Wick, because I know there's those diehard fans of John Wick who are going to say, oh, look, it's just like John Wick. His goal was survival so that he could exact his revenge. No, it's not. Here's why. John Wick was on his murder-killing revenge spree, and there was no risk involved. And despite what you may want to say about John Wick, like how, yeah, there was always a risk because he's in the movie. He doesn't know if he's going to die or not. There's no real risk of him dying, especially as the viewer. You know he's not going to die, and he doesn't act like he's afraid of dying either. Like, there's no... There are so many things that go into a movie that create tension in the viewers, be it the music, be it the lighting, be it the setting, be it the dialogue of the characters or the camera shots or the way that their faces are portrayed. And you get none of that with John Wick. None of it whatsoever. You have a guy who has unlimited ammunition, wears a black suit, walks around, does whatever the heck he wants, and he gets away with it. And you're like, oh, but he got super beat up at certain points in time. Okay. He didn't, it did not, there was no weight to that. And with Maximus, sure, there were a few gladiator fights here and there where he was kind of like, he just kind of was there, killed everyone, and then moved on. But it was still a compelling story because between those fights, there was dialogue and there was character development and there were instances, and the way that like the movie portrayed Maximus was a man who had lost everything and wasn't simply just hell-bent on killing everyone. Like, he still had some sanctity for life, and he didn't want to kill the men in that Colosseum. He did it out of necessity. And so he goes through this movie, and there's only what? Is there only like two gladiator fights before he gets to the Colosseum?
Yeah.
And the first fight in the Colosseum, it's him protecting the rest of the guys who are with him. And sure, one could argue that was so he could survive as well. But at the same time, like, it isn't simple. Like, there are certain moments, like when I forget the big German guy's name. Do you remember his name at all?
You mean the one who gets, spoiler alert, like stabbed a bunch at the end and has like 20 arrows?
Yeah. There's a moment where there's a chariot coming and Maximus is telling him to get down and he can't, and he jumps in the way of the chariot to save him. And so there are certain elements where he's still risking his life for these other people. And so it's not simply selfish motivation that's driving Maximus at this point. And even when Commodus does come down there, Maximus definitely fears for his life being lost because, one, he's thinking about killing Commodus, but he's not sure he can get away with it. But two, as soon as he sees Commodus' nephew come out from behind him, he puts it away. He's like, I'm not going to do this in front of this kid. Like, he still has this innate desire to protect others despite the system that's completely destroyed his life and despite this literal lunatic who's coming out to greet him. He refuses to – there are certain lines he will not cross. And with John Wick, you don't get that. You don't have lines that he's not willing to cross. He will kill whenever, wherever, whoever. And the first movie, I guess, sure, he doesn't kill people in the Continental. But immediately goes out the window in the second movie, though.
Well, there you go. Didn't know that, but that's a bummer.
And so, like, there's so many more elements at play here. And sure, you could say, well, John Wick's goal was revenge and the risk was him surviving to get that revenge. But the thing is it's such a basic plot. It's so narrow and it's so like single-minded. Whereas Maximus, sure, he has this goal in mind and he wants his revenge, but that goal changes. It shifts. And it's a very believable shift too. John Wick's goal doesn't shift. It's always revenge. And even though that goal kind of shifts and it changes directions throughout the movie, there are still moments where you see certain ideals and beliefs that Maximus holds about the world and about the sanctity of life and certain things that a man should or should not do that he still holds to those certain tenets mm-hmm. that he does not abandon no matter what. And one of those would be just protecting the innocent. And so whether that be from, like, I'm sure another thing that could have gone through his head with Lucius is like, if I kill Commodus right now, there's a very real risk that Lucius gets either injured or dies in the conflict that follows.
Mm-hmm. Especially because he's right there.
Yeah. And so it's like, not only just, I don't want him to see this, it's, I don't want to risk him actually dying in this conflict. And so it's interesting because even if there are certain elements of John Wick that do bleed through into Gladiator, where it is like certain moments where it's just he wants revenge and he's just surviving to get that revenge, it's not the message of the movie. It's not the goal of the movie, and it's not what defines Maximus's character in the end. And so if John Wick maybe had a whole hour at the end and a whole hour at the beginning, and that the whole movie was condensed down to 30 minutes, and you had more to John Wick's character and his story that made him a more compelling character that had real motives behind it rather than just revenge, sure, maybe it could be a good movie, but it's not. John Wick, at best, is simply a 30-minute section of the movie Gladiator and a stepping stone for Maximus to get where he needed to be at the end of the movie.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I think it gets encompassed in two different ideas that were presented in this movie for sure. And that's, it follows along everything you've been saying, but one is this idea of honor, right? And this is a big idea in this movie. It's a strong theme, but yeah. This idea is one where he has honor right at the beginning of the movie, but he kind of gives that up once he gets captured. And then you have this big sort of semi-uplifting speech from Proximo as they're about to go into their first fight. And he's like, you guys are going to die. So die as men, die with honor, you know, all this stuff. And that's what gets him back into the fight, because he realizes that even though Maximus has lost everything, that does not mean he is devoid of responsibility. And that's like every man still has their honor to uphold, the responsibilities of their life, that they must rise up. You must rise up and be a man and take the things before you and do everything you can to do that to the best of your abilities. And that's what he ends up doing, is he says, okay, I might not have anyone around me, but right now I can fight. And because I am a man, I must fight to the best of my abilities. And that's what he takes going forward. And then he combines that honor and that responsibility with vengeance. And that's what carries him the rest of the way, where he goes, I have this responsibility, I have this honor, and I must do what I can to fulfill my obligations. And that expands as the movie progresses beyond just his personal vengeance, but to a more honorable vengeance, maybe more or less, toward the rest of Roman society, where he is protecting the rest of Roman society from this danger known as Commodus.
It's almost like to him, it turned from vengeance to justice, because with him, he has, because think about it, with John Wick, it's purely revenge. There is a system mm-hmm. in place, and sure, these are mob bosses and stuff like that, but John Wick could have gotten creative. He just wanted revenge. With Maximus, it's almost like it's a sense of justice. Like, he sees himself as this divine arbiter of justice being exacted upon Commodus and Roman society, because he was tasked by Marcus Aurelius with doing this, and Commodus usurped this. And so in Maximus's eyes, if you have the system of Rome, because even though he becomes disenfranchised with this idea and like this fantasy of what Rome was, he still sees that there is a system, and that system, when used correctly, can be a very, very effective tool. And so that's why there's that line when he says, like, my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and true servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius. And so there's two things there. One, he sees his family as still being tied to him. Even though they're dead, he sees them as very much alive in his mind. They are still his wife and son. And so,
and that's reflected in his flashbacks consistently of going to join them.
And with Marcus Aurelius, even though Marcus Aurelius is dead, he does not see Commodus as the real emperor. And so he does not see him as an authority figure, which means this is it. He is, in a sense, the only person, number one, who's knowledgeable enough, but two, who's capable of carrying out this divine justice per se on Commodus. And so, yeah, one could say this is just a revenge story, but two, towards the end of the movie, it's not simply just revenge, because if it was just revenge, he'd figure out a way to kill Commodus. Rather, it is more of a way of him of carrying out his duty, and Commodus's death is an act of justice in his mind. And I mean, the argument could go either way, but I think, like, for the sake of this, I'm not going to argue the other side. I've introduced it. You can think about it if you're listening to this. But in my mind, from what I'm watching and the type of character that Maximus is, I think it's very clear that towards the end of the movie, vengeance and revenge are not the things that are driving him towards the end.
The other thing, too, that I think that just goes along with all this is Lucius Verus, or Venus, the son, or the nephew.
Oh, Lucilla's son, yes.
Commodus's nephew. And I think it's interesting because he's an interesting character because he seems to play a lot into the movie. And I was always just thinking, why is he always here? Because he doesn't affect a lot of like actual outcomes, whether or not Commodus dies or anything like that. But in some ways, I think that Lucius represents the Roman people and them being shepherded by a different leader. And Maximus is the one who's trying to, redeem them away from the wickedness that has always been Commodus and the wild existence of Rome previously, and trying to redeem them from that. And Commodus is taking him down this continuous path. And that's where he stays his hand from doing more drastic things, right? You see him going out to face Commodus and has the arrow tip like you talked about earlier, and he's going to potentially take a risk of losing his life for killing the emperor. But then he sees Lucius and he says, while I might need to do this, this is not the right time because this is the wrong thing to do in front of this child, right? And the child plays, I think, a significant role in his mindset and what they're trying to do throughout the movie. And maybe you could speak more into what your thoughts of Lucius as a character is, because he really doesn't like take action. He's more of a bystander.
I think it's interesting because I didn't think about what you're saying, but there is certain elements where Lucius is almost a tool for Commodus, and Commodus is a character who very much desires the approval of those around him. And so that's why, as the emperor, he found it so frustrating that Maximus was able to sway the crowd. And it infuriated him. It really pissed him off. And so with Lucius, you see that too, where he starts to realize, Lucius likes this guy too. To be honest, it gives me like King Saul vibes when like the women are saying, Saul slayed his thousands, David slayed his 10,000s. And Saul's like, well, crap. I got to one-up this guy. And it's why he eventually... Yeah, and that's why he, like, finally decides that he's going to fight Maximus in the arena to prove his superiority. Because it's like he's thinking, if there's any way the people are going to love and respect me as much as they do him, it's going to be by beating him in combat. But I think he misses a very key part of that. And that's what Proximo touched on, is like, you can't be the one who kills the fastest or the most. You have to give them a show. You have to make it something that they love. And Maximus is like, yeah, I can do that.
Nice.
I think Lucius, in my mind, represents the Roman people, but in a different way. He represents them in almost a smaller portion in relation to Commodus. Because they're also, he is very innocent and does not understand what's going on. But at the same time, it's not like he has the same bloodlust as the people of Rome do, or the corruption that the people of Rome do. But there are similarities. Like, he is ignorant as to the politics going on between Maximus and Commodus and Commodus's sister and the politicians of Rome, or the coup that Maximus is trying to stage. He's simply a pawn amidst it all. But he also, in a way, grants Maximus power over Commodus, and it's something Commodus is constantly trying to overcome throughout the movie. with the Colosseum, he's trying to overcome the fact that they simply just don't want him to die. And he knows if he kills him, not only will Lucius hold it against him, probably the entirety of Rome will hold it against him, because they have this literally like the ultimate gladiator, this awesome, awesome fighter that they love to watch. And he's just going to off him. And they're like, why would you do that?
And that was where he has to do it in a way that appeals to the people and makes him look like, you know, a hero or a great leader in some ways. And that's where these other staged representations don't work. And so he cheats and stabs him before the actual fight to show himself as this great, you know, fighter who is also a leader of the people. It was very interesting how that ended up. What did you think of Commodus as a character?
Good old Commodus. Oh, I think he was great. I mean, he was absolutely horrible, but he was great. Nice. I think he represents, yeah, I think he represents a very flawed character. And even though he was so full of BS when he was telling his dad, like, if only you loved me and all these other things, like, sure, I think there was a hint of truth to them. And I think there were some elements that were very true. I don't think Commodus, it's weird because it's like, yes, he was being honest, but at the same time, he was just trying to get his dad to let his guard down. And so it's like he was being honest in spite of himself. And so I think there are like...
You're talking about at the beginning of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah. When Marcus Aurelius says, your faults as a son are my failures as a father. And it's interesting because Marcus Aurelius is very willing to admit his faults as a person. And it's interesting because it's very much conflicted with his son Commodus, who has way more faults than his father, and yet is unwilling to admit any of them. And he's like listing off his character traits. He's like, you sent me a letter with the four virtues. And he goes, I have ambition. That can be a virtue when it drives you to greatness. And it's like, you're getting high on copium.
Right, exactly.
Somebody's coping. And so there is a line where he's like, I just wish, like, I wanted your, he's basically telling him, I just want your approval as my father. And it's interesting because it's not like he didn't have his father's approval. He didn't have his father at all. And so, like, there are truth to Commodus's words, and it's interesting because it's like this manipulative partial truths where he's using them to make his father let his guard down and kill him. But there is still very real elements to where Commodus's character is flawed, because his character is one who was starved for attention as a child, and his whole drive throughout the entire movie is he wants approval, he wants attention. And he didn't get that from his father, so he's trying to get it from all of Rome. He's trying to get it from Maximus even. He wants to get it from the senators. He wants it from his nephew. He wants it from his sisters in some very sweet home Alabama sort of ways. And she turns him down. And Lucius turns him down. And all of Rome turns him down. And by the end of the movie, he starts to like go completely crazy. I mean, we laugh at the scene where he got friend-zoned by his sister because it's like ridiculous that he would even try that. But like to him, it was just another attempt at attention and like acceptance from someone that he wanted acceptance from. Right. And so that's like part of his character is just completely, it's very believable as a villain. It's a very compelling reason because it's not simply that he wants power. It's, and I think there's like a level of that. You need to ask yourself, people want things, but what do they want them for? Why do they want that? And so Commodus wanted power, but he wanted it for approval.
And that is the question too, because Gracchus asks Maximus that when he's offering him the opportunity to take over Rome with his legions, right, and helping to free him. And the question is, like, what do you do with that power? Why do you want this power? And he basically says, well, it's the responsibility handed down to me, and as soon as I'm done with taking it away from this wicked tyrant Commodus, you guys can have it back because I don't want anything to do with this.
And so there's all sorts of elements, and it's like whatever virtue or whatever thing it is that is driving those characters is what is that for? Right. And so for Commodus, power is for approval. It's for his, in essence, it's his own personal gratification. And there are very real elements to why he wants that. With Maximus at the end of the movie, the reason he wants that power is to fulfill his duty, to fulfill his obligations to both his emperor and his family and all of those around him who are depending on him in his eyes. And so they both want the same thing, but they both want them for very, very different reasons. And I think it's one of the reasons that makes this movie so good is because there are very believable things driving both of the main characters in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think that makes a lot of sense. He is an interesting villain, partially because he's one of those more psychotic ones that you've seen, which is, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix seems to do this quite well, quite often. But he's a very fascinating character. My understanding of history is that Commodus was pretty wacko historically anyways.
But, oh, yeah. No, this dude was the ultimate whack job.
Yeah, and so it was great that they played him out as that in this movie. But yeah, exactly what you said. They hit the nail on the head that he's definitely got his own motives for doing everything, whether that's his personal lust for glory or any other number of these motivations that he plays out in this movie. He's very well developed.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's where you get scenes like partway through the movie where you see Commodus saying, "Am I not merciful?" to his own sister, where he's pressuring her to sleep with him. You know, yeah. it's psychotic and it's messed up, but that's where his logic brought him to. And it's a terrible character, but also very well-developed, fascinating character also.
Yeah.
The heightened tension. Did you think that the movie consistently took our main characters, Maximus, and put him from a bad situation into a worse situation as the story progressed?
Yeah, definitely. I think there were elements where he starts out head of the Roman army, basically, going home. He has plenty of land. He's very wealthy, and all things considered. He loses all of it, becomes a slave, and is like at the bottom of the depths. And even as he's kind of coming out of that, it's not simply just, oh, I'm a gladiator now. It's now he's basically going to toe-to-toe with the Roman emperor with none of what he had before.
Yeah. And the other thing is that he starts to get these people who are his allies, but also are now at risk. So he's got the German that you mentioned earlier. He's got Lucilla. He's got Lucius, and he's got Gracchus. He's got Proxima. All these people that are at least somewhat his allies, as they come around him to try to aid him in his quest for revenge and for redemption for the Roman people, he puts them at risk. And you see that as people like Cicero die, or Proxima dies, or, you know, Gracchus is put in prison, and all these other things that happen in the process of him trying to do the right thing and get out of this bad situation. It only gets worse for him, and gets worse for all these other people around him as well.
Yeah.
I put this as one of the best examples that I've seen of this. And the clearest thing is that his whole plan to redeem Rome backfires in every imaginable way possible, right? Not only does he not meet up with his army, everyone he knows and cares about is either captured or put in a checkmate by Commodus, or put in jail or dead at the end of that experience. And so it's an absolute disaster. And it just makes his situation look more and more bleak. Like, how can you rise out of the situation and actually do what you came to do, which is to enact this vengeance and save the people from this tyrant? And it puts the situation is ideal for really having a grand slam ending when you put him in a situation like that, which you really don't have in John Wick, because as we said in John Wick, he's always winning. One or two situations where he gets captured or he one of his friends dies, but for the most part, he's the boogeyman. He's the one who's killing everyone else, and he's the one who's always striking fear in everyone else's eyes.
Yeah.
And so he's always progressing. He's getting closer and closer to his goal. And it's harder to, as fascinating as the fight scenes are, it's harder to get behind that and say that, oh my goodness, this is a crazy great movie. What's going to happen next in that situation when you're in the middle of it? Versus something like this, where he's lost everything. He doesn't have anything going for him. He's literally had a bunch of his friends die for a cause that didn't even turn out in his favor. Like, how are you going to get out of this? You don't know. And that's the act of a great story, right? Where you put them in this situation.
Talking about the movie more in depth, and even before this, I've heard so many people like complaining about this movie. Whether it's from like, oh, it's not historically accurate, to, oh, it's just overrated. People look at this movie and they're like, oh, it's amazing. But when you truly analyze the messages and the themes and the way that the characters are developed and the characters that are within play in this movie, it really is just such a great movie to watch, and just one that it has so many things going for it. And so, I mean, I guess you could say it's like overly praised, but I think when you really dig down into it, there aren't really any problems with this movie, if that makes sense.
Not per se. No. In regards to the plot, no. Nothing especially as glaring as John Wick.
Every movie probably could have some things better. I think in terms of movies, though, there are very few where I would say I don't really have anything that I would want to see change, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would rather have this movie stay as it is than do any modifications to it, just because at that point, I would be afraid that I'd risk making it worse.
Exactly.
Which is, it's a good place to be at. I think, and my only concern would be with, they didn't have any crazy revelations in my mind or knockout surprise ending. It's just mono-y-mono. Maximus has the stronger fighting ability and comes out on top, actually defeats Commodus in the final match in the arena, and Commodus dies, and the people are in some sense redeemed from his tyrannical rule, and then he dies as well from the mortal wounds he was given at the beginning of the game. So I don't recall any surprise ending there. I don't know if you recall any surprises throughout the movie or not, or any significant revelations specifically.
I think with this movie, one of the things that was kind of like a revelation, even though to the audience it wasn't, the fact that Commodus found out about their coup was definitely a revelation for the characters.
Right, because he has people stalking, and you know that he's following people around.
In terms of like plot twists, I wouldn't say there were really too many of those.
Right.
And I mean, I don't think you need a plot twist to make a great movie either, though, to be fair.
No. And so this is where you're getting on the high echelons of great movies in my mind. And so when you hit the 9 points, there's a sense in which big revelations like this aren't, they don't make or break a great movie, right? A great movie is definitely going to be there regardless of that. But what makes, I think, a truly great movie go above and beyond other movies is when they have something that catches you by surprise like that. And so that just that little extra emphasis that really adds that starry-eyed fascination with the movie. Like, oh my goodness, they pulled this on me. I wasn't expecting that. So that's it's not a huge ding on the movie. I just don't think there was anything that caught my eye. There was no Luke, I am your father type of scene, or Sixth Sense, Malcolm's already dead type of thing. Sorry if you guys haven't seen those movies. That's kind of on you, though. There's nothing like that going on in this movie. So not a huge biggie, but just worth noting. Does the hero of the day, Maximus, grow as a person through this movie? And does this, we've talked about themes. Do you want to spell out the theme for us?
I think in a nutshell, the themes here are probably going to be like duty and honor, family, loyalty, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you'd like talk about like the idea of like idealizing certain entities. But I think that's definitely a theme in there.
You mean like Rome as a whole? Is that what you're talking about? Or what are you thinking of specifically?
Like, we often idealize certain things that are not as good as we think of them as being. Whether it be a world leader or a country or a policy, right. We look at it and we think, oh, this is so good. And we fantasize about it. I mean, there are people who will say, oh, we fantasize American history as being so awesome and great. No, it wasn't awesome and great. We had slaves and stuff like that. And it's like, there's a fine line there too. Because me personally, I think our founding was awesome and great. And sure, it wasn't perfect, but I never claimed that it was. Mm-hmm. But I think the difference is with Rome in this movie, it was looked at as perfect almost. Like, the system itself is wonderful and amazing. Mm-hmm. And having an emperor is something that obviously functions well.
And almost like a similar thing where we look back with, or at least men traditionally look back with nostalgia on the Roman Empire, when in reality it was a brutal place with a ton of messed up actors who didn't necessarily embody the true values of Rome that we reflect in our idealistic understanding of today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's a very real sense. I think that all those themes are great. I think the big one that stuck out to me is the one that I said earlier, where there's honor and responsibility among men that must be men in the generic sense. All of us have responsibilities, not that I'm discriminating against women, but you know, the responsibility that we have to fulfill our obligations and how we have responsibilities even outside of what we might think we actually have, and that you need to fulfill those even in the bleakest or even most pointless circumstances. Because in some ways you might look at the way, Maximus fighting throughout most of this movie is in some ways pointless, right? He has nothing to fight for. He is just a man who's lost everything. But at the same time, he has responsibility to rise up and rise to the occasion and do what's right, and to fight for the people around him, and to make the world a better place. And there's a sense in which all of us have that calling on us, regardless of what situation we're in. We might be in a dark situation. We might be in the worst of circumstances, but that doesn't matter. We still have this calling, and we're supposed to fulfill that. And that kind of message is, it reflects in anyone's life. You might not be in the arena. Yeah. Most of us aren't going to be, hopefully ever, but you still have responsibilities that you need to fulfill.
And I think that's one of the things, like another thing that makes a great movie, is that there are things within it where it isn't purely entertainment, because there are movies and like visual media and like music are very powerful tools for influencing like the hearts and minds of anyone who's consuming it. I mean, it's the same way with books, but with books, it's a more conscious digestion of the information. Mm-hmm. Whereas movies are a more subconscious digestion. And I think what makes a really great movie is having really great themes, but portrayed in such a way that it's a great story as well. I think it's one of the problems that like Christian media has today, where they do have like, they have decent like themes within the movies, mm-hmm. but they're not portrayed in such a way that it's compelling. It's like you have these themes that are shoved down your throat, and you're like, I don't want them to be shoved down my throat. But I think what makes a great movie is when you have a great plot, great characters, great premise, you have great soundtrack, and then you pair all of that with great themes. And I think Gladiator has all of those things, because you have the great themes of duty, honor, family, loyalty. You have the mm-hmm. the like idea of almost like you as people, we need to start looking at things more critically instead of just taking everything in. And I think the irony is that mm-hmm. it's a movie and you're not typically going to be taking that in critically. Right. But there are so many things there, and the people watching and consuming that would hopefully be taking away those ideas that are within the movie while also being able to have a great time while consuming this visual media. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, it's not exactly a movie made for a younger audience, but at the same time, it doesn't have the actual porn-like visuals of some other movies like Oppenheimer or Napoleon or the Titanic.
Yeah, well, and that's a whole nother discussion, but definitely the ideas and themes will be, people will adjust that in some ways, whether they realize it or not. And that's probably part of the value of the storytelling genre, is that people are fed the values they should have, whether they like it or not, because they're, you know, just enjoying it for pure entertainment. But the effectiveness of that, going back to what you were saying about religious movies, is that oftentimes you get this browbeating with these Christian movies or whatever other genre you're looking at, where they say, oh, hold to these values. These values are so important. And there's a sense in which you feel like these values are there almost at the expense of the movie rather than complementing the movie. And the question is, why is that? Well, to some degree, you're going to see you'd have to go case by case, but my general impression is that these movies have a more surface level interpretation of some of these things, where they go on a very basic trope of what does this look like, right? Whereas you have in this movie the ideas of responsibility and honor and rising up and being a man when being a man is called upon. There is a sense in which they contrast that in the hardest situation possible. They iron strength the argument here, where Maximus has no reason to be involved, and yet he chooses to be involved because it's the right thing to do. And that's where you have, you don't simply have him do that out of nowhere, but you have him struggle through that, right? At first, he's just like, I'm not going to fight, right? He throws down the sword when they try to get him to train to go into the gladiatorial arena, and all of these other things. And then when he realizes that this is what he must do, he does what he did at the beginning of every battle. He picks up the dirt, he wipes his hands, and he prepares for war. And that's that shows that arc, right? This is not just a sudden thing in one way or another, but you see that this is a transformation of this person rather than just a simple message to be conveyed.
Yeah.
So what'd you think? Were you satisfied? Were you dissatisfied? You ready to watch the next one? How are you feeling about this, Andrew?
I'm conflicted, because you'd think if it was a really great movie, you'd want another one. But the way that the movie industry works, and also the nature of the movie itself, I wouldn't want another one. That doesn't mean that I wasn't satisfied, though. Like, I was very much satisfied. And if it was the type of movie where you could have another one, absolutely. If you could do it right, yeah. But for this type of movie, I'd say no. But yeah, no, I was definitely satisfied with this movie. So satisfied that I fell asleep halfway through.
Yeah, this guy is a little something.
To be fair, it was like 3 a.m, okay?
That's how you like to watch movies.
Like 8 hours playing Twilight Imperium for the third time in 3 days.
Nerd.
All of you were picking on me, by the way. There was like, what, 4 of you?
Absolute nerd. I can't believe you play games like that. How dare you?
Says the man who played the Necrovirus.
Okay, yeah, there you go. And
was doing a little jig in the living room.
What can I say? Winners gotta win. Would you change your rating? Over, after this discussion, did you think that there was anything that was added to this movie throughout this? Or do you think that you'd leave it the same, make it higher, make it lower?
Okay, to be fair, I was being facetious initially.
I kind of figured.
I actually got a 7.15 when I did yours.
Oh, wow.
To me, 9 would be perfection. You cannot get better.
Of course.
There is no conceivable way you could get better. And I don't think you're really ever going to get a movie like that. But I think it gives you a standard. Now, in terms of like a movie that I'd want to watch again, and like, I don't know, I looked over your questions. Some of the questions, I didn't feel like had an answer that really fit the way I was thinking about it. So I moved it up. I think I'd give this probably like an 8.1 or an 8.05. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those movies where it's like, sure, it could do better. But this is just like, it's such a good movie in terms of just like, there are so many things going for it. So many things that are just like it hits the nail on the head with certain themes and certain attributes and the way that characters are developed and portrayed, and the acting and the music is phenomenal in this movie. And so it's just like everything you're looking for in a movie, as long as you are willing to see some bloodshed, like it's in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a rarity to find that too, which is why I think I'd give it such a higher rating. And so, yeah, I'd give it like an 8.05.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think that I would actually bump mine up a little bit closer, probably about a 7.9 compared to a 7.7. Partially because throughout this discussion, while I initially said that Maximus doesn't have a ton of great character flaws, the character development in this movie is huge. And so the character arc growth is great in this movie, and it shows in how you experience it. So phenomenal, loved it. Will watch again. Definitely would watch if someone had it on the screen. Yeah. And that's
it was great, all I've got. Awesome, huge, beautiful.
there he is, and that's the pod. That's all we got. You all, we hope to see you back next week, because we certainly will be here. Until next time.